Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Broccoli, you know, it's good, and Junior is not here to defend it. It's Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus. But more importantly, it's Janae Ogwumike, Kimberly A. Martin, and Charlie Arnold for the First Take Her Takeover. We started off the day on First Take, and now we're here at my home, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Ladies, do we have our caffeine? Are you guys ready for 3 hours of fun?
I'm good. Woo!
That is exactly true. Kimberly, how are you doing?
All the shots from Starbucks. All the shots. So many shots. We're good. We're good, sis.
Awesome. Well, welcome to my home, ladies, once again. Now, Charlie, why don't you kick things off? Because we had a very, very big return in the land of the NBA. It looks good. Yep. Hey, yes, a little bit of technical difficulty, so I will hold things down right here. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. It's your girl, Janae Ogwumike. And yes, we finally did get that return. It's been a long time coming, and Kevin Durant has showed up, and he showed out. Again, Charlie alluded to it. He did not miss a shot, and it's crazy because when we first saw him, it's nuts. It was late in the second quarter, and what he was able to do, we saw on full display all the best aspects of Kevin Durant. It was him attacking the rim. It was KD knocking down threes. It was KD just being KD in open court. And that's a really scary thought for a lot of teams, just because you think about, all right, they have a number of superstars. You've got James Harden. You've got Kyrie Irving. You've got Blake Griffin. You've got LaMarcus Aldridge. And now you know that, all right, with James Harden dealing with the hamstring, maybe you can just substitute KD and not miss a beat. And so it just really shows you, and it's a testament to the offensive firepower that this Brooklyn Nets team has. And the crazy thing is, obviously, they still do have some weaknesses being their defense, but the reality is their offense probably overcompensates for all of that in a way that Kevin Durant is just the icing on the cake. And so I saw everything that I needed to see from Kevin Durant. The question is, will the chemistry be there? You know, especially going down the stretch with only about 20 games remaining on the NBA schedule. But honestly, it may not even matter because there's so many talented pieces that they can afford to rest their players. And that actually might be the biggest thing that helps them coming down to the playoffs. Now, Kimberly, I know you from Brooklyn. Aren't you from Brooklyn, sis? Like, that's your energy? So she reps it extremely well. It's the First Take Her Takeover on Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. Myself, Janae Ogwumike, Charlie Arnold, and Kimberly Martin all joining us. And, you know, it's just wild because I think we have to sort of set the scene overall for the NBA right now. Kevin Durant has returned, and I believe Brooklyn right now is considered per Vegas the favorites. No surprise there. But the question is, who can stop them? Who can stop the Brooklyn Nets? And what I have noticed happening in the NBA, where we are all falling in so much love with the offense, falling in love with the three-point shots, what I've noticed is there are teams that have been quietly bolstering up their defense. The Los Angeles Lakers right now are number one in defensive rating. And then they add Andre Drummond, someone that hopefully when, you know, his toe is a little bit better, someone that gives you 14 or so rebounds a game. And so that looks like the avenue that the Lakers are taking. While they may not be super sexy on O without AD, without LeBron James, they're holding it down defensively. And that's giving them a shot to win. Similarly, top five in defensive rating in the NBA, we see obviously the Phoenix Suns, we see the Philadelphia 76ers, we see the Utah Jazz, and we have to put respect on the Utah Jazz just because they've been the top team in both offensive and defensive rating. And so this defensive energy, while it may not be the flashiest, is the number one thing that I think has brought consistency to the idea that you're going to have to contend against this crazy offense of the Brooklyn Nets. But I just think overall, you guys, Kevin Durant is back, and that's huge for the NBA just because he is appointment basketball. And when we saw his return yesterday, I think people were reminded of his greatness. But a lot of people have this like oscillation of who is going to be the one that is going to be more impactful down the stretch. Will it be KD? Will it be LeBron James? And we sort of discussed this earlier on First Take. And what I will say here is just that, you know, while Kevin Durant might be the reason a team wins a championship, I really genuinely believe LeBron James is going to be that person that has to carry the biggest load. And so with LeBron James resting and KD back, it's going to be interesting how they sort of manage their respective roles and hopefully make a title run, because the obstacles in front of them are real. We're seeing the best version of the Philadelphia 76ers right in front of, you know, Kevin Durant, James Harden, and Kyrie Irving. We're seeing the best version of the Milwaukee Bucks after they finally locked down Drew Holiday with a contract extension and locked down Chris Middleton and, of course, Giannis Antetokounmpo. And on the other side, my goodness, last night we also had an amazing game in which we saw the Phoenix Suns beat the Utah Jazz, who have had the best record so far over the course of the NBA season. And so the obstacles are going to be real. And I think that's why teams are being very, very careful in how they're using their stars. Glad to see KD back. It'll be interesting to see if LeBron James and Anthony Davis can sort of repeat that chemistry and get back to as soon as possible. But that is pretty much the Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise on Kevin Durant's return and everything happening in the NBA moving forward. Health will be the number one situation to watch and follow. But let's just be real. I'm very excited that KD is back. Kevin Durant, I mean, that man is a cheat code, period. Now, coming up next, obviously, we had another game. I know a lot of people tuned in to Kevin Durant, but the Phoenix Suns and obviously the Utah Jazz, they squared off, and the young stars really, really showed out. That was the game of the night. So let's talk about that. Who is better, Devin Booker or Donovan Mitchell? We'll get to that next on the First Take, Her Take over of Chinan Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
When you have three bad women, you set the network on fire. And we have a little bit of technical difficulties, but it's all good. My ladies, I can still see you and feel you and hear you in spirit. And I'm so glad. We are Chinan Golic Jr. streaming live on ESPN Plus here on ESPN Radio. But it's the First Take, Her Take over. Myself, Chinan Ogwumike, Charlie Arnold, as you see all the time on First Take. And of course, Kimberly A. Martin, our exceptional NFL reporter. All right, we're going to test this one more time. Can we hear you?
I can hear myself. Can you hear me?
Yes, uh-oh. Charlie. I can hear you. Kimberly, do we have the green light?
Thank goodness.
Awesome. Fantastic.
Oh, no.
Yeah, no, I think we can hear.
Wait, so can
yes.
You can hear Kimberly and me?
Let me just connect with our producer, Shannon. It seems like we are all good. We are ready for liftoff. Yes. So once again, First Take, Her Takeover has finally made it through. We have done it. And your girl was trying to hold it down solo. And I'm glad that I've got my squad with me. So, Charlie, we were able to talk about Kevin Durant's return, but what we have up next, we've got Donovan Mitchell and Devin Booker sort of making statements yesterday.
Oh, wow. Statements is an understatement, actually, because last night we had an overtime thriller, which, by the way, is death when you have to be up early in the morning. Because these West Coast games, they don't start until after 10 o'clock here on the East Coast. So I am struggling a little bit, but it was a game worth staying up for. It was between the top two seeds in the West, with the Suns besting the Jazz 117-113. And it was Devin Booker's 7 points in the extra period that made the difference. He had 35. Meanwhile, Donovan Mitchell finished with 41. So, Chinay, we're all looking at these two players right now. And I have to ask you, who is the better player? Is it Mitchell or is it Booker?
This is really complicated because Donovan Mitchell and Devin Booker are pretty much at the same points in their career. Both two-time All-Stars, around 24 years old. Both, I mean, leading their teams in ways that I think a lot of people respect. Devin Booker with the shot. But I have to kind of go with Donovan Mitchell just because the weight that he has carried so far, you know, has been huge. And the Utah Jazz have been that number one team for the largest portion of this NBA season behind his leadership. I mean, he does a little bit of everything that you love. He's athletic. He's a point guard that has to distribute and move the ball to their many shooters. And, you know, he's trying to improve as a defender. And so I have to give the edge to Donovan just because, you know, there's so much greatness that he has the responsibility for. You know, when it comes to the Utah Jazz, even though if it comes down to the final shot, like, I mean, Devin Booker, no question. Like, he's one of the best, one of the most fun to watch in that final possession. But overall, I think Donovan Mitchell has led his team in a way that I think Devin Booker hasn't had the luxury or the opportunity just because he wanted to win. So, you know, Chris Paul comes into town. So these guys are really neck and neck, but I do value especially Donovan Mitchell and his leadership from a holistic perspective, because the Utah Jazz have been that team for the longest portion of the season. Kimberly, what are your thoughts?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, girl.
Is there a massive delay out there? Listen, I honestly, I think right now Donovan Mitchell is the better player by a slight margin. I think last night that was like his seventh game putting up 40 plus. He's just asked to do more. He has to do more. And I think his team struggles when they only focus on him, when he's got to carry the load, and he's capable of doing that. But when I look at I'm sorry, I'm hearing like feedback. When I look at Devin Booker, he's got Chris Paul. Like he had an off shooting night to start that first half. But it didn't matter because in overtime they were able to win because they had the better squad.
That is true. And I think it's hard when these guys are neck and neck. It's the First Take Her Take over of Chenango Jr. on ESPN Radio, myself, Kimberly R. Martin, and Charlie Arnold. It's hard to compare those two, but a lot of times we are saying that LeBron James is the MVP because he does not have the amount of superstars that other guys like Kevin Durant, you know, or James Harden. So, like, that usage does propel our perception of what these players are. What about you, Charlie? I mean, you technically always are the judge. You are tiebreak. You are referee here.
Okay, I'm just going off of what I've seen lately. I think Donovan Mitchell, for me, has made more of an overarching statement as far as his capabilities are concerned. But I think Devin Booker lately has just looked so good in the clutch. I think even last night was a really, really big check in his column. I mean, it was because of his points in the extra period that willed the Suns to that victory. And I just think every game I just keep seeing him. It feels like his confidence just keeps getting bigger and bigger, and is you know, what he's willing to do and the risks he's willing to take just keep getting larger. So I'm going to go with Devin Booker. There you go, ladies. There's your tiebreaker.
Finally, yes. Charlie with the take. I love your tiebreaker. And I do think that one thing that helps Devin Booker, and it probably will help him over the course of his, you know, career, he's like 6'4", 6'5", where Donovan Mitchell is probably like 6'2", 6'3".
Size.
And so that size will definitely matter.
You know what else helps him?
Yes, absolutely. That size will help him defensively as he improves there. What's up, Charlie?
Well, I was also going to say, you know, having CP3 as your teammate, also not a bad look. And I'm curious to know, because there's been talk about, you know, putting him into the legit MVP conversation. Do you think that he deserves to be in that race? CP3 I'm talking about, because last night him and Devin Booker combined for 64 points, which is the highest combination that they've, or the highest points that they've combined for this season as teammates. So what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's complicated because I feel like there's such an open vacuum. So sorry, Kimberly. There's such an open vacuum for who can win MVP because the favorites have missed, you know, an extended amount of time. Before we cut to break, what were you going to say, Kimberly?
Oh, 2 years ago, the Suns, what did they win, like 19, 20 games? CP3 being there, that's huge. He is huge for that turnaround, but there's so many guys that deserve to be in the MVP category. I don't know if he's a top three guy that I would say definitely deserves an MVP.
Yeah, I sort of have to agree.
CP3 just continues to get slighted.
It is true, but hey, he's a vet and he's good. Like, he's certified in the NBA, and I think he's going to pursue that championship. Now, there are a lot of factors at play, you know, as we enter the final stretch of the NBA season. But there are honestly bigger things at play when it comes to the world, even outside of sports. Unfortunately, we have to address, you know, this situation surrounding Deshaun Watson. What should the NFL do given the current situation with the Houston Texans quarterback? We'll get to that. But first, a quick word from DraftKings. Now, golfers are in Augusta, Georgia, competing for the coveted jacket. It's so amazing. The weather looks spectacular. It's spring out there. And DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports, is giving you a shot at a free entry into a contest with $100,000 in total prizes. Sign up using promo code CJR, and when prompted, opt into DraftKings Big Birdie Payday. Download the DraftKings app and use code CJR during sign up for a shot at their free entry into a $100,000 contest with their Big Birdie Payday promotion. That's code CJR only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for more details. Now, again, we have to address the situation regarding Deshaun Watson. What should the NFL do? We'll get to that right after this. It's Shanae Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio. The First Take, her takeover. Stay with us.
Shanae Angola Jr., the podcast.
Shanae Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. It's your girl, Shanae Ogwumike, and the ladies of First Take, Her Take, the podcast. Kimberly A. Martin, NFL reporter, and Charlie Arnold, one of the hosts of First Take, for the takeover here on ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Take it away, Charlie.
All right, ladies, let's get right into our next topic. It's something we have been talking about for weeks, whether it's on various ESPN shows, whether it's on our podcast, and really the situation just keeps spiraling more and more out of control. It's actually a little bit mind-blowing at this point. So Deshaun Watson obviously has been dealing with a lot. The numbers keep going up as far as the women accusing him of sexual misconduct, and now that number is at 22. Two of those women went public this week and shared in court. One of them gave a verbal statement herself. The other had her lawyer read a letter in her own words of what exactly transpired and her emotions. Well, since all that has happened, Nike has suspended its multi-year endorsement deal with Deshaun Watson, and also Beats by Dre ending its sponsorship outright. Also, Reliant Energy, which owns the naming rights to the stadium that the Houston Texans play in, also have said that their partnership with Deshaun Watson is over at this point. They do not plan to use him as a brand ambassador moving forward, although they did say that their partnership was scheduled to end before these allegations came out, but still no plans to work with him. So all of his sponsors are dropping him. And the NFL said to be investigating the allegations, but no other major action has been taken by the league yet. Although there was an NFL spokesperson, Brian McCarthy, he did call the allegations, quote, very disturbing. Kimberly, should Deshaun Watson be placed on the commissioner's exempt list?
Charlie, no, he should not. Not because these allegations aren't serious, but the commissioner's exempt list isn't designed for the offseason. It's designed to keep guys from practicing and being at the facility. And if you put him on the exempt list now, there's no activities at the facility right now. So what exactly would he be exempt from? I understand why people want the NFL to do more or act, but the action has to make sense. And right now, putting him on the commissioner's exempt list when we haven't gotten a little farther in the process with these lawsuits, and there's a lot more that needs to happen here before the NFL just does something for the sake of doing something.
Mm-hmm. And Kimberly, this is really interesting because, as Charlie mentioned, the brand deals, obviously Nike chose the language and enforcement of suspension versus Beats termination. And I think that sort of brings up the bigger point of view of, like, all right, when there is a suspension, that means it's probably trying to wait and get more information before they make a final decision. And I think that's where a lot of people probably are conflicted because, as Charlie said, I mean, we first heard of, you know, as women, you hear of one and one is enough, right? Like, to catch your attention, to start having pause. And then now that number grows to 22. And that, to a lot of people,
Which is unbelievable.
A red flag of, like, okay, if brands who are associated with Deshaun Watson are doing something, shouldn't his primary employer at least address it? Now, I understand respecting the legal process, and this is where I saw the commissioner's exempt list. I know it is an unprecedented circumstance, but I know through definition, you maintain your salary. You're just not an active player. And I think it's going to be public, probably pressure potentially, if this process goes longer, to say, like, well, what is the NFL going to do? What are the Houston Texans going to do? And people look to that list and say, like, maybe that's a viable way to sort of demonstrate the gravity of what these allegations are. And, you know, obviously, you know, watching what we watched with the press conference of some of the victims, it's tough. It's jarring. But at the same time, we it's been largely radio silence on Deshaun's side, which is, like, you know, important for us to also have him sort of, you know, go through his process of, you know, defending himself. And I think that commissioner's exempt list is probably the only recourse, albeit not the normal traditional pathway, based on public, you know, as we approach the season. I know it's a long runway, but as we approach the season, it looks like the option that a lot of people are pointing to, even though it is unconventional.
Yeah, and I think the fact of the matter is that right now, Deshaun Watson, given all of these allegations by 22 different women, he doesn't really have a place on the Texans team. You know, it's not fair to put his teammates in a position where they do interact with him or need to interact with him, because at that point, people want to know what's going on. And, you know, when you are interacting with certain people on a day-to-day basis, questions are bound to come up. You're kind of going to want some answers. And I think that they're probably going to need to put him on the exempt list just to remove him from the entire situation, because right now it's not good. And until things really simmer down one way or another and things are figured out, which these things can take a long time, there's a lot of details involved, a lot of moving parts, a lot of people, you're not going to know what to do. So maybe putting him on the exempt list is the safer move at this point. But everyone you are listening to, I'm sorry, I was going to reset. I thought, keep
going. Do your thing, Charlie.
No, yeah, we're taking over. It's First Take Her Take Over on Shanae and Golic Jr. We're so excited to be here. Ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't been following us, then you need to, because we have really been taking over. That's an understatement. We're on First Take this morning. Now we're here on the radio show. We got First Take again tomorrow. The podcast episode obviously dropped. And the things that we're talking about here, we also touch on in the First Take Her Take podcast. So I know this is a story that we're definitely going to be following probably for some time now.
Absolutely agree. And to follow that up, Kimberly, if it's not the commissioner's exempt list, then what can the NFL do at this point? Even if it's nothing, you know?
Yeah.
Look, he can certainly end up on the commissioner's exempt list at a later date. But right now, again, I bring up the point of nothing's been proven or unproven when it comes to these accusations involving Deshaun Watson. You know, he hasn't been proven guilty yet. Like, we have to say that. You know, does it look good? No, but also nothing's been proven. And again, nothing is, it's the off season. Like, we haven't even gotten to the draft yet. Like, his lawyer is still trying to get the names of some of these women so that they can, you know, try to rebut and disprove some of these allegations. So as we get closer to practices and training camp, we get closer to him being at the facility, a place he didn't really want to be at in the first place. So I think if the legal process plays out, if criminal charges are filed and we go down that road, then obviously the league can act on that. But right now it's a little too early to talk about the exempt list in, you know, early April.
Yeah, and we all definitely defer to you and your judgment here on this, Kimberly. It's a heavy topic to discuss, but it's necessary to keep everyone informed. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and more at progressive.com. But you mentioned something, Kimberly, because we got to get back to the field and sort of brighten our spirits up. I'm so glad to be here with you ladies. And coming up next, let's switch gears because, you know, on-field play in the NFL draft coming up, it's been really exciting, especially for the Carolina Panthers, who made a huge move by trading Sam Darnold. But is there a bigger move coming up when it comes to the draft? That's coming up next on the First Take Her Take Over of Shanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
So we are Sammy and the Jets no more, but it's all good. It's Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus. Janae Ogwumike, Kimberly A. Martin, Charlie Arnold holding it down here on the First Take Her Takeover. And I say Sammy and the Jets no more because he has found a new home, Charlie.
Talking about Justin Fields and the potential of where he goes in the draft.
Correct. And it's interesting because with Sam Darnold, especially.
Sorry, I just got a little. Sorry, I couldn't really hear. So I just want to make sure I knew where we were going. Okay, look, Sam Darnold, he's a member of the Panthers now. Okay, he has yet to really be evaluated, so there's no telling what's going to happen as far as he's concerned, as far as how he fits into that system. But Justin Fields is a potential option as far as the Panthers could be concerned. Here's what we know so far. According to a source of ESPN, NFL teams are going to get yet another opportunity to scout out quarterback prospect Justin Fields. He's going to hold a second pro day on April 14th. So 49ers GM John Lynch are going to be there. Coach Kyle Shanahan, they were unable to make his first pro day. So look, the Niners traded up for the third pick in the draft, leading everyone to believe that a quarterback pick is imminent, but they could pass on Fields. And, you know, knowing what we know about the recent Sam Darnold trade, there's a lot of question marks floating around in the universe right now. So, you know, if it were to occur this way, where the 49ers decide to pass on him, the fourth through seventh teams decide to pass on him. Should the Panthers take Justin Fields if he does get down to number eight, if he is an option? Kimberly.
If I'm the Panthers, I would rather Justin Fields than Sam Darnold. But here's the thing. The Panthers could have tried to move up to get Justin Fields, and instead they pursued the Jets when it came to Sam Darnold. They were, in fact, the only real suitor that really went and said, we want this kid, and they're committing to him for 2 years, $24 million. They're going to pick up his fifth-year option. So at this point, Carolina is in on Sam Darnold. I would not be all in on Sam Darnold, because if you watched the last 3 years, if you watched him at USC, if you watched turnovers be an issue in college and also in the NFL, separate from Adam Gase being one of the worst NFL coaches that we've seen recently, separate from all that, Sam Darnold, yes, there might be potential, but there's a lot of question marks. So I think if the Carolina Panthers were really interested in Justin Fields, they would have maneuvered up in the draft to try to get him already. I don't think Justin Fields to me should not fall to eight, but if he did, I'd be surprised if the Carolina Panthers took him, only because they could have gotten him. They could have moved up in the draft and instead and not pursued Sam Darnold when they already have Teddy Bridgewater, who they could move on from or keep him. I don't like this QB situation in Carolina personally.
Yeah. It's super complicated, Kimberly. You're right. And it's crazy because it's sort of like things change by the week. I mean, we have not talked about Trevor Lawrence, obviously, for a reason. Number one to the Jags. Zach Wilson, and this is all per Adam Schefter. Zach Wilson at two to the Jets looks locked in based on this trade. You know, and then at three, Mac Jones to me was interesting that a lot of people slot him in there, but largely he's going to benefit from Kyle Shanahan and that system. And so, yeah, like the Carolina Panthers made a trade and got Sam Darnold, but I think a lot of people are very, very respectful of the New York Jets in the sense that, all right, Sam, we know that you survived a situation and we're going to give you the benefit of the doubt, but I'm not sure exactly where the Carolina Panthers sort of feel like they should evaluate that situation. Obviously, he's a great option considering they're shooting their shot at Matthew Stafford and Deshaun Watson before the allegations. But now, I mean, if a Justin Fields is available, and this is where things sort of shocked me, Kimberly, especially, you know, I became a huge fan watching the, you know, college football playoff and that championship run. And I know he was hurt, you know, the final stretch. Mm-hmm. But, man, that man has talent. And for him to be the one that drops and potentially still be available, I think the Carolina Panthers have to take a hard look at, you know, him. And it's weird that, you know, you apply the benefit of the doubt for Sam, but maybe not necessarily Justin Fields in all these discussions with him sliding. You know, Kimberly, I just want to kick this back to you really quick. If they don't go quarterback, who should the Carolina Panthers sort of target?
I don't know if Panay Sewell is going to be there at 8. You know, I think you got to protect QBs at all costs. And if you're the Carolina Panthers and you believe in Sam Darnold pairing up with Matt Rhule, then you get him protection. I think that's key. I think the Panthers have questions on their O-line. I am with you on I'd rather have Justin Fields personally, but, you know, I don't know. They seem real set on Sam, which I don't know. That's going to be a storyline all year because I don't know how that's going to go.
I don't think anyone knows how it's going to go, but Kimberly, you said, or Shanae, one of you have already alluded to it. It was you, Kimberly. They wouldn't have put so much stock in bringing Sam Darnold on board if they had saw no promise in him. I don't see why they would have given up 3 picks to the Jets to bring Sam Darnold on board when they did if they had any intention of taking a quarterback in the draft. Additionally, I think that knowing that there's other teams beneath them, New England as an example, Denver as an example, who are in need of a quarterback. I mean, I know Cam Newton's locked into the Patriots, but, you know, there are, again, question marks surrounding him and his future there as well. So, you know, maybe this is an opportunity for the Panthers to get more draft capital from teams by letting them trade up, you know, if Justin Fields is someone that they find interesting. So I don't personally think they should take on another quarterback, though.
And Kimberly, you know, considering you're the NFL reporter extraordinaire as well, when you look at all the quarterbacks, why is it that Justin Fields seems to be in the discussion for dropping?
There's always somebody every year. I'll be honest, I'm in the Trey Lance camp when it comes to the San Francisco 49ers at 3. You know, talking to people on the league, you know, they brought up the question of, you know, Mac Jones, how different is he than Jimmy Garoppolo? Yes, Mac Jones fits the Matt Ryan, you know, guys that Shanahan has won with, but he hasn't won a Super Bowl. You know, I think Trey Lance is somebody who's got potential and that you sit him and you might love the potential. He's got the highest ceiling of the quarterbacks outside. Trevor Lawrence is a separate issue. But why Justin Fields? I mean, the questions about his work ethic and all of that stuff. I mean, listen. Like, just because guys are taken where they are doesn't mean that those GMs know exactly what they're doing or can grade prospects properly, right? So, Deshaun Watson, football only, he went after Mitchell Trubisky, Patrick Mahomes. You know, like, good guys fall a lot. So, Justin Fields, no matter where he goes, he's a talented kid. You hope he lands in a good situation like all these guys.
You're right. You know, the difference here is obviously in the NFL, and I'm speaking from my personal experience, it's always nice when you get drafted and you're instantly, hopefully, a millionaire.
Your personal experience in the NFL.
So it'll be really interesting to see what the Carolina Panthers choose to do after acquiring Sam Darnold. Will they choose another quarterback? I think we'll continue that bait for some time coming. But, you know, the draft is going to be fun. So many stars will be on display, futures being made. But there is, y'all, one sports star that had some comments that really did not sit very well with us. We'll tell you who and what he said next on the First Take Her Takeover of Shanae Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus.
Thanks for listening to Shanae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.